Welcome back to Inside Agriculture. Final half of the show today on this Friday evening. Irrigation day is down in Oaks. Sounds like a good time. I'll be heading on down there this evening, actually, to watch the parade and everything else. Rodeo's tomorrow, but I digress. There's no doubt the average age of America's farmers keeps going up. Chad Hart, an agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension, talks about the reasons why.
Well, I think you're seeing a couple of things happening here. One, yes, that average age of farmer, they are getting older. Part of that is because of the technology we have within agriculture today, making it where, if you will, more seasoned farmers can continue to farm deeper into their lives and their careers. But yeah, we're also seeing a challenge in bringing those young and beginning farmers back on the farm again as we look there. And so that's leading to an increasing age there.
So why aren't young people returning to the farm?
You bring up the question of, okay, why aren't people taking over? I think the challenge is taking over, as you mentioned, the liability here. To get started, especially in row crop farming these days, does take a tremendous amount of capital. And that is hard for young farmers to gather early in their career. And so you tend to see this, let's call it slower transition these days, as opposed to generations past, in order to get that next generation up and going on the farm.
Successful farm transitions to the next generation requires a lot of planning.
That's a big concern, I would say, for a lot of us as we stare at agriculture. But I often like to point out that this is not necessarily a new concern. I know when I first got into my role here at Iowa State, I was digging through some of the historical documents that were left in my office suite, and I stumbled upon some of the writings of Bill Murray. Now, Bill Murray is a well-known figure here in Iowa. He was a economics professor. He ran for governor twice back in the 1930s and 40s. I stumbled upon one of his first papers, and it was talking about the farm succession problem that they were staring at back in the 1940s.
Hart said farmers have been successfully transitioning to the next generation for 8 decades.
We've been through 80 years of this, and we've always found a way to transition that farmland to the next generation. It's becoming harder to do because farms are larger, they're much more capitalized, and you have fewer folks participating in farming than we had back then.
Again, that's Chad Hart of Iowa State University. And U.S. dairy producers received good news just in time for the June Dairy Month. Lori Boyer has more.
June is National Dairy Month, and it's no coincidence that the Senate Ag Committee has unanimously approved a bill to expand milk options in school lunch menus. Chris Galen, Senior Vice President for the National Milk Producers Federation, shares what this means for students and the dairy industry.
Currently, the policy is that they can have either low-fat or skim milk, fat-free milk, either flavored milk like chocolate or white milk. But anything that has a higher fat content, like 2% whole milk, is not allowed under current guidelines, which are ultimately overseen by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act is legislation both in the Senate and the House that would expand those choices to give kids once again the opportunity to have 2% milk and in some cases whole milk. So the bill has been approved over in the House by the House Education Committee, and the Senate Agriculture Committee approved it. So now what happens is that hopefully the bills will be able to be voted on at some point here this year.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, called the U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans antiquated and is pushing to switch from low-fat dairy to full-fat dairy, including whole milk.
We'll take one last step aside here on Inside Agriculture on this Friday morning.